Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Rob Delaney, mother, wife, sister, human, warrior, falcon, yardstick, turban, cabbage, is the title of stand-up comedian Rob Delaney's tell-all or most memoir. In it, he vividly shares stories of his childhood, depression, alcoholism, he's now more than 11 years sober, and that time he put an egg in a microwave. Rob Delaney is one of the rare people whose time spent on Twitter has helped his career. Before he was making money as a comedian, he was sending out 140 character or less jokes like, imagine a shark. Terrified yet? Well, you will be when I tell you that the shark is made of gluten. And the hour I lose from daylight savings time will now be multiplied by 6 as I try to change the time on the clock in my car. And many other Twitter jokes not exactly suitable for radio. His Twitter persona is primarily brash, crass, irreverent, and fearless. His memoir is funny, but also stuffed with thoughtful reflections on all too real experiences. And then, as you can count on from any good comedian, funny again. Rob Delaney, welcome to the Roundtable.
Thanks for having me, Sarah.
In 2010, Julie Grau of Spiegel & Grau asked you via Twitter to write a book. How did that request slash offer become this book? How did you and she decide that the style format of the book would be a sort of tell-all or most memoir?
You want to know something funny? I've not told anybody this. Early in the process, I called her and I was like, I think I might like to write like a dissertation, like a critical study comparing and contrasting Lady Gaga and Katy Perry, like totally seriously. And she was like, yeah, or just you could write something that people would want to read from you, which is you being funny about yourself. And I was like, that's also a good idea. So, I mean, I think that pretty much out of the gate, it was deemed that it would be a funny memoir. And I, you know, the sort of the template that I kind of used, or rather that I tried to let guide me, was Henry Miller's Rosie Crucifixion trilogy, Sexus, Plexus, and Nexus. And because in those books, he doesn't go from A to Z. He goes on total flights of fancy. You know, they're autobiographical, but if he wants to talk about a book that he likes for 20 pages, he talks about the book for 20 pages. Or if he wants to go down some memory hole, those are the kinds of memoirs that I like to read. So I aspired to have mine sort of feel, you know, friendly, meandering, varied, and not be too terribly concerned with explicit A to Z biographical details, because I don't care about that, so why should you?
Right. Some of the stories in the book are the same as in your stand-up special, Rob Delaney Live at Bowery Ballroom, that is streaming on Netflix.
Yes, my hepatitis is covered in both. Yeah,
right.
That's true.
And the excreting in the street is in both.
Well, people need to know that when something like that happens, you want to tell people across various forms of media. It's important.
So you'd been performing those stories, working those stories up as bits for stand-up for a while, and then to put them on the page, is there a difference? Do you have to re-examine it and do it differently? Because you don't get to mime along with the stories, for instance.
Yeah, I mean, there are different, different levels of detail. I mean, I think any of those stories might be faster reads, actually, than I, you know, beat them to death on the stage, stand up, extrapolating every imagined possibility and jumping around. But yeah, no, they're tremendously different because I don't write, well, the Venn diagram of the book and my stand up, there is some overlap. They're mostly different things and different subject matter.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And when I do stuff on stage, I usually don't write it out before. I have, you know, bullet-pointed sort of ideas, and then I'll work it out on stage. Because over the years, myself and most of the stand-ups that I admire have gotten to the point where it's better for us to sort of create on the high wire of the stage rather than, you know, writing it in some antiseptic lodge coming down from the mountain and doing it. I don't know what this antiseptic lodge is. Is it hospital level? And I don't know what I'm talking about. But what I'm saying, what I'm getting at is...
You're combining like a hospital situation with Walden Pond or something.
Sure. It's like, you know, it's an alpine hospital for people who maybe have altitude sickness and need to be treated immediately. I don't know. In any case. So honestly, though, as silly as that is, that's an example of you and I are joking around, and it's funnier than if one of us was just like clacking away, you know, facing a corner in a windowless room, back again in the Alpine Medicine Lodge, whatever it is.
Right.
You know what I mean? But that's see, that's how I think the biggest laughs come. You know, whereas when I'm writing with my fingers on a keyboard, I will generally try to write as truthfully as possible and then, like, err towards humor. Whereas when I'm on stage, I'll lie. I will lie to an audience for 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. I don't care. It's about making them laugh. And all tools are at my disposal, including total factual dishonesty, complete emotional honesty, because you want to get people to a place where they're identifying, saying, yes, me too, I agree, I feel that way. But if I think it would serve them and me better to embellish or expand or extrapolate or explode, then you're gosh darn right, I'm going to do it. Whereas the book, you could hook up to the equivalent of a book polygraph and it would all register as true with my stand-up. That would not be the case. And to that, I say, fantastic.
Twitter is somewhere in the middle, then.
Yeah. And I think it's fun, especially on Twitter, to not explain when you're doing one or the other. Because, I mean, what's more rewarding than reading a 140-character little tiny mini missive that has, like, you know, a sleight of hand in it? Isn't it funny when somebody writes a funny tweet that misleads you and, like, tricks you? I love that. So,
yeah, a friend of mine once described it. He said, I like that tweet because it feels like it couldn't possibly fit into a tweet. It had so much going on in it.
I know. There's some weirdo that I follow on Twitter. His name is Egg Dog, and he did this tweet today that absolutely had three distinct acts and moods in it. And it, like, broke the fourth wall, and it was in under 140 characters. I mean, that's ridiculous and amazing. Twitter is very silly, but it is a minor art form, I think.
With your established status on Twitter, do you tweet anything that doesn't get any play at all? Like, do you have an unfavorited tweet in the last 4 or 5 years?
I don't know if, because I can't tell if it's like a bot or a fake, or there are ones that have been wildly unpopular. And the best part is that as many followers as I'm fortunate to have, I can absolutely, totally misfire and be like, man, this one's going to kill. And then people will be like, total silence, you know. Or ones where I'll hit tweet and I'll be like, right away, I'll be like, that was so stupid. And then people will be like, oh my God, that's the greatest, you know. So just because I make a living doing comedy and just because I have a lot of followers does not mean that I know what's going to hit and what isn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I can be totally wrong and frequently am, which, again, that makes it kind of more fun.
You studied abroad, as you know, in France, and the chapter and section titles in the book are in French, which is funny. But I can't say why. I know that every time I got to a new chapter title and it was in French, I giggled. But I don't know why. Do you know why? I mean, obviously, hopefully that's what you were hoping for.
Yeah, I mean, my feeling there was, again, with Henry Miller, and he's part of why I went to France. I think the only difference between me and Henry Miller is I'm maybe 30 points lower than him on the intelligence quotient scale. And I don't treat women like total disposable packages of Kleenex.
Right.
But I do
admire his curiosity
and his appetite for life. So, like, when I was a kid and I found him in high school and then he went to France, I was like, oh, well, I have to go to France. And he would write for a while, and sometimes he would just write passages totally in French and not translate them.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed that. And they used to do that more back in the, like, earlier part of the 20th century, up until about, like, maybe the 60s. People would totally have passages in French or Spanish or, you know, and they'd be like, you go figure it out. And I kind of like that. People now are like, well, we better translate it 6 times. No, you want to know what it means? Go look it up. So, you know, maybe one little kid will go and look up and they'll decide they want to learn French, which is good. It's good to learn other languages. And then also it's incredibly pretentious to do as well.
Uh-huh.
So it has the double benefit of making me look like a big jerk by titling everything in French, which makes me happy to have people think, you son of a gun.
The last chapter in the book before the inclusion of the essay about women's bodies, which we'll leave for people to see, because it's with, you know, stick in for that, everybody. It's hilarious. Is about being a dad and about how it's a very, very, like, zealous sort of love letter to being a dad.
Yeah.
And then you have to balance that affection for your children with going out on the road fairly often. How do you balance that? How does that work?
this is one of the things that I'm sort of proudest of in my life at this point, and I hope that doesn't doom me and both my family and my career, but what I'm really trying to do, like the place where I feel like I'm healthiest mentally, is where I don't let that stress me out or ruin my day.
Okay.
I get to be with my kids more than a 9-to-5 parent does when you add it all up. When I am home, which is most of the time, I personally take them to school. I personally pick them up. I spend every waking hour with them, and it's the best. But then I'll go away for like 4 days in a row every 3 weeks or something. This book tour that I'm on right now is different, and it's longer, mm-hmm. and I don't like it. But I normally, when things are normal, I get to spend more with them. It is stuttering, and it's, you know, staggered, which is to say I'll be home for 3 weeks without interruption, and then I'm totally gone for a few days. But that's just how it is. Everybody's got to work, and my work, you know, is weird, but to date, it adds up to just a little bit less than if I worked, you know, 45 hours a week or whatever. So I don't know, I live with it. I love what I do for a living. I love my family more than I love that. So I just try to think of it as I'm leaving one good place to go to another good place. And then I go back to the other good place, and I try to leave my wife. I try to put things in the crock pot for my wife before I go food shopping, clean the house, so she doesn't feel, you know, totally... I organize babysitters and stuff, so I really try to leave her in a good space when I leave.
Mm-hmm. You reveal so much of yourself in the book and in your stand-up. It's, you know, really, really telling stories of your alcoholism and recovery and depression and and treatment. When you share so much of that and then are in a career where you have fans and you get to meet them because you perform stand-up on stage, are they over-familiar with you? To a fault, or
very usually pretty cool. We're getting now to the point where I might stop taking pictures with people after shows and stuff because they'll be like, "Take your shirt off for a picture," and I'll be like, "Get away from me! Get away from me!" You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's not something you can request.
Don't have a shirt on in my Twitter picture. That's because it's a silly picture, but it also turns out that I'm a human person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm your clown when I tell you I'm a clown. And when I'm just a guy, I'm just a guy. But most people are very nice. Most people absolutely are kind, funny, intelligent, and I enjoy meeting them. But, yes, there are notoriety or being known is a double-edged sword. It helps get people to my shows, and most of them are fantastic. And of course, like in any endeavor, there are people who are jerks, but c'est la vie, you know, price of admission, occupational hazard.
Right. Another, I would guess, unpredictable occupational non-hazard is that Margaret Atwood loves you.
Oh, God, you know...
She's so effusive on Twitter.
It's amazing that that she knows who I am. Mm-hmm. That she read my book is insane.
Yeah.
And just what a kind woman. I mean, I guess, you know, you would have to be to write, because if you think about it, she's an unbelievable poet, an unbelievable historian, an unbelievable environmental activist, you know, unbelievable fiction writer. Unbelievable Canadian, you know, titan of just, I mean, she's an amazing person. So I guess there's going to have to be some skills of empathy and kindness and, you know, sensitivity in there to be as good at what she is as she is. So, but still, that she focuses any of that on me at all blows my mind, because I mean, I don't want to say worship, because that would be dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll say worship if you promise not to tell her that I said that. I mean, she's the best. She's the best.
Rob Delaney, mother, wife, sister, human, warrior, falcon, yardstick, turban, cabbage. I'm going to have you explain the title. I mean, I understand it, but it'll be better, I think, if you explain.
Oh, I wrote that, well, because, you know, people do know who I am generally because of Twitter. And a lot of people on Twitter will do these bios or on Facebook where they say they try to just express all this, like, Wes Anderson-y nuance about their quirky life. And I'm like, I don't care, you know, so that's just a play on people who give you 8 whimsical facts about themselves that you don't want to know. I follow you because you wrote that book, Double Down, that just came out. I follow you because sometimes you post pictures of yourself in a bikini. I follow you because you won the Cy Young Award for pitching. I follow you because you're hilarious. You know what I mean? Like, I don't follow you because of your self-styled factoids.
Right. The book is available from Spiegel & Grau, your stand-up special, Rob Delaney, live at the Bowery Ballroom, available to stream on Netflix. Rob, thank you very much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Sarah. I really appreciate it.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.